Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Tuesday morning, foggy, foggy, foggy Tuesday morning, April the 12th, 2022, 14 minutes past the hour, 45 degrees, cloudy skies. Now, it says cloudy outside. Now, it may be cloudy, but it is definitely foggy here in the Marion area. I went down to McDonald's this morning to get a diet soda, and boy, you could not see probably a car length ahead of you. It's nice to see that everybody has their headlights on, so nobody's smashing into each other, at least on Route 95. But it's definitely foggy out there this morning, so be careful if you're in your car or out driving the bus or planning to go out before the fog lifts this morning. Now, I do have a few things to say here off the bat. We had a great show yesterday, and I want to get into that momentarily. And we do have candy to give away. Now, remember, we're doing our Cadbury Eggs Easter giveaway. Now, our Cadbury Eggs, if you're a fan of these are the regular size Cadbury Eggs, and they're boxes of Cadbury Eggs, four to a box. So we'll be giving away three of these over the course of the first 3 days this week, because I will not be on Thursday or Friday this week. We'll have best of programs. So this morning, I think we're going to have two drawings, and we have the people who entered yesterday will go in the first drawing this morning. Brenda Tackett was in several times, I think five times, and Lee is in and Ron is in so far. So we'll add some other names, and then we'll do the drawing at the end of this hour, and then we'll do one hopefully during the 9 o'clock hour. But there are a few things I do want to mention this morning. As I said, I will not be here Thursday or Friday. And, let's start here off the bat. The story is horrible of what happened on Sugar Street. We now know the names of the people who were involved. And it looks as if the preliminary investigation points to the fact that the boy shot the girl and then turned the gun on himself. Now, yesterday he was still alive. She died apparently pretty quickly after the gunshot wound, but he ended up dying sometime yesterday in Columbus. So there you go. Now, here's what I want to say. I'm going to give praise, and then I don't know. This is not a knock, but I have to do it this way because it's hard to do phonetics in a message. Adam has done a good job with the news. I appreciate him doing the news. Number one, it's nice to have other voices on the air in the morning other than me. And he's on top of things that are going on in Marion, even though he lives in Columbus. So I appreciate everything he does. Now, that being said, I'm pretty sure it's not Catelyn Cole. It's Caitlin Cole. The name is spelled K-A-T-L-Y-N. I've never known anybody to name their kid Catelyn. I think that's just a different spelling of Caitlin. Now, I could be wrong, but that's what I'm going to guess. Because I have known people named Caitlin who spelled their name that way. And I've never known anybody whose name was Catelyn. So I'm sure that obituary will come up, very unfortunately. And it is on the news report today, but I'm pretty sure that's the name, Caitlin. Okay. Other than that, that's all there is to say with that. If anybody wants to say anything about that, they're more than welcome. I don't know what that is a sign of, to be honest with you. I don't know. I don't know. Every city has this. So first of all, this is not uncommon for Marion or any other city. unfortunately, there are tragedies like these, and they're awful, and it's just horrible. But does anybody have anything to say about this in particular? It's a very unique thing, I guess, because the people were young. I guess because it's a murder-suicide. That's not something you hear a whole lot of in Marion. It's certainly not an everyday occurrence. It was done in the front yard, from what my understanding was. And it's horrible, and two people are dead. And I, you know, it's interesting. I was having a conversation last night about this with somebody. And number one, the rumors that go around stuff like this, I'm uncomfortable with that. Because people will say things that I think they think happened, but I don't know if they know that they happened. And I heard a rumor yesterday about this that I'm pretty sure was not true, because if you think about it, it doesn't make any sense. Somebody had said the hospital was on lockdown. Now, I don't know why. First of all, I don't think you could put a hospital on lockdown unless there was a shooting going on in the hospital. And clearly, this shooting did not go on in the hospital. If you read the report, they were both in bad shape when they were found in the yard, as my understanding is, over on Sugar Street. So why you would lock down the hospital, I would have no idea. I don't think the hospital was locked down. But that's a rumor I heard. And this, again, I don't know where that stuff comes from. But I think it's a desire to be first with news is what's happening. I'm sure that was an internet thing. It's a desire to be first, not to be right. I don't really care about being first. I let that go a long time because I realize that if, like this story, clearly this was reported by every news outlet in Marion and every news outlet in Columbus. Now, if you are listening to this station, you will get it here first, even if we did not report it first. If you're watching Channel 4, you're going to get it there first, even if they didn't report it first. And the truth is, even if we did have some kind of insider that gave us the information before anybody else, as soon as we put it up, every other station is going to cover it anyway within a matter of minutes because of the way the media works now with social media. So what is the point of being first? I think it's more important to be right and not to speculate. To say that the hospital was closed, I think, is speculation. I never followed up on that, or on lockdown is what I should say. But it's just, it's a rumor, and it's good people who are saying these rumors, but I think they come from people just trying to report rumor. If you can't verify something with somebody at that organization, which would have been the hospital, then don't say it for sure. I mean, even this morning, As pretty sure as I am that the lockdown did not happen at the hospital, I'm not going to say definitively it didn't happen because I haven't called the hospital. And I don't think it's germane to the story at this point. But, you know, that's the things people hear. Does anybody have any opinions on this? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Maybe you knew one of the victims. One victim, and I'm not sure what you would call the other one. Not a victim. Or just what do you think of it in general going on in Marion, which doesn't have so much to do with the people, but has to do with the way things are now, which is something of a sight. 740-751-4038. You know, we've had people call in recently praising the police department for their work in apprehending drug issues going on in Marion, and certainly they should be praised for that. I don't think anybody would knock the police department for handling drug issues, but, you know, crime is always going to happen. Crime was going on in the 1950s when people didn't lock their doors. Crime is just not going to stop. And you hope you have very good police officers, which I think we do here in Marion. And you hope that things don't happen, but they do. I think that's, unfortunately, the way life goes. But again, 740-751-4038. And again, we certainly send out our thoughts to the family of Caitlin Cole, who was the victim in this case. And that's tough. That's tough on a family. 20-something years old. It's awful. It's just awful. But there we are. That's what I have to say about that this morning. And again, the phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. Did want to mention the fact that our surprise guest yesterday was Tony Danza, which most people know now. And I just want to say what a pleasure it was to have Tony Danza on yesterday. Now, he's coming to the Palace Theater on April the 23rd. And you can get your tickets by calling the Palace, 740-383-2101. But we got a lot of feedback yesterday on that interview about just that they liked it. And I think a lot of people did not realize what Tony Danza did. I think they might have thought he was coming in with a play, or maybe he was going to do stand-up comedy. I think there was some confusion. But now, a lot of people really kind of understood what he does. He sings, he tells stories, he dances, he plays musical instruments. And he was a really nice guy. Let me tell you that. He was a really nice... Some people aren't. Some people who you interview are not nice. But Tony Danza was great yesterday. So I want to thank him for coming on the show. And I hope everybody who heard that interview enjoyed that interview, and it's nice that that kind of talent is coming to Marion. So again, I want to thank or certainly heap some praise upon Kirk and his group over at the Marion or the Plaza, excuse me, because to bring a talent like that and a show like that to Marion, that's great, and I hope that they have a great turnout for that particular show. And I also want to thank them for giving us two sets of two tickets to give away for free on the air here, which we will do probably not today, maybe tomorrow. Now, I can't make any promises. It'll all depend on if we get through our Easter trivia, but we definitely will give these away early next week because the Palace is going to mail you the tickets when we have the winners. So that's that. So stay tuned for those ticket giveaways. It's going to be a great show on April the 23rd over at the Palace. Tony Danza, Standards and Stories. Okay, let's see. We got the Cadbury Egg trivia coming up here. Well, yesterday, and I only want to touch on this again. Well, let me do this before we get back to that. I am not a beef and noodle eater. I think when I was a child, my family had beef and noodles probably once every week or once every 2 weeks. It was a popular dinner around my house. And as a child, I think I got so burnt out on beef and noodles that once I moved out and went off to college, I don't think I probably have not put beef and noodles in my mouth for many, many years because I was so burnt out on it. And last night, Angie made beef and noodles. And she said, "Have you had dinner yet? You know, I have some beef and noodles if you'd like some." And I said, "Well, you know, it's not one of my favorite things, but last night was kind of gloomy and cold, and I really didn't want to cook anything for dinner. And I thought, well, I'll give this a try." It's been many, many years. So the beef and noodles came over, and it was a good-sized bowl of beef and noodles that she brought me. It was delicious. I ate the whole bowl. I'll admit to that on the air. Other radio hosts wouldn't do that. And I ate it all in one sitting. I ate the whole bowl. It was so good, so tasty, that I would eat that anytime. Now, that would appear on a list of foods that I would eat. It was so good. I don't know what she does. I think homemade, in a way, tends to be better than store-bought, certainly, and maybe even most restaurants. So homemade, I think, made it better. And Angie's a very, very, very good cook. I don't know where she picked that up, but she's very good at cooking dinners like that. She does good pork chops and desserts and all kinds of other things. But boy, those beef and noodles were good. Hit the spot last night. So I thank her for that. And I think she also delivered some to her mother. And who knows, maybe there's leftovers today for Angie herself. But boy, those beef and noodles were good. Do people out there like beef and noodles? To me, I was just burned out on them. It wasn't so much that I did not like them. It was just when you get fed something every week for years and years and years, you're just totally burned out on it. Did anybody else ever have that? A food that they like, but they're just burned out because they had it too much. You know, I know people have said that about macaroni and cheese. I can think of two or three people who said they don't necessarily dislike macaroni and cheese. It was because they had it so much when they were a kid, they just don't enjoy it anymore. Ramen or ramen noodles, however you pronounce it. I know people who have said that. They had it so much when they were a kid, they don't want to taste it anymore. They don't want to have it anymore. Pizza. Sometimes that happens with pizza. You know, if you had pizza a lot when you were a kid, you're not so much a fan of pizza. You tend to go toward things that you didn't have. You know, maybe hamburgers or tacos or something like that. Was there ever anything you were burned out on as a kid, food-wise? I'd be interested to know the answer to this. Because mine was beef and noodles. Beef and noodles and spaghetti. I had beef and noodles and spaghetti. That was probably on my menu as a kid at least once a week. Those were the two mainstay meals. That somewhere in a 7-day period, we were going to have beef and noodles or spaghetti. And I've been so burned out on both those, it's just amazing. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, I'll tell you, when I was a kid, we had soup beans so many times, I couldn't eat soup beans for a lot of years.
You know, and isn't it interesting? Now, when you were a kid, did you like them?
Yeah, I like soup beans to this day. But
yeah, but you don't want them anymore.
No, it went for a long... I was that way with peanut butter, too. I once ate peanut butter sandwiches for lunch at work for a week. I couldn't look at peanut butter for a long time after that.
You know, now see, that's the line, because I don't like peanut butter either. But peanut butter, for me, is not a dislike that came about because I ate a lot of it. I just don't like... Peanut butter is a weird one for me, because if it's like in a candy, if it's an ingredient, I can do it. But a peanut butter sandwich or just plain peanut butter on a cracker or something like that, that's when I don't like it.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know what it is.
I eat peanut butter all the time now.
I don't know what it is about peanut butter. And I tried not too long ago to have a peanut butter sandwich because I thought, well, it's been a while. I'll give this a shot again. And I tried it, and it tasted just about like I remembered it. But
was
see,
it smooth or crunchy peanut butter?
Plain.
See, I'm a crunchy peanut butter kind of guy.
Well, the thing about the peanut butter is, like I say, that's a dislike based on taste. Now, the beef and noodles and the spaghetti, I like beef and noodles and spaghetti. And clearly yesterday I liked the beef and noodles. So my dislike toward beef and noodles may have gone away. But that's purely based just on repetition, having them too much.
Yeah, I was that way with soup beans. Boy, I couldn't look at a bowl of soup beans for a long time after that. But
so, did you get a chance to hear Tony Danza yesterday?
Yeah, I heard the replay too. I was going to ask you if you ever got the answer to that question you asked.
What was the question?
About his two most popular shows Tony Danza did.
I think I think somebody did, but I don't. Do you remember them?
Yeah, it was Taxi and Who's the Boss.
Taxi and Who's the Boss. You know, it's interesting because I think he's probably more known for Who's the Boss because it was on longer and he was the star. But
yeah.
But Taxi, if you watch it, that's a tremendous show. That's a well-written, well-casted, good show.
Yeah, I liked about all the characters in Taxi.
Yeah, Taxi's great, and I think Tony Danza at the Palace is a great coup for the Marian Palace. I think that's a name that people know, and from my estimation yesterday, he seems like a very nice man and a very talented man.
Yeah, everything I've ever seen or heard about him, I mean, he's always, you know, pretty upbeat, friendly. I don't think I've ever heard about him being in a bad mood or doing something he shouldn't have done.
Now, you going to head over and see him at the Palace?
I'm going to try, but I'm not going to make no guarantees. Depends on what the tickets cost.
You know, that's something I don't know. I don't know what the ticket price is, but hey, maybe you'll get lucky here and win a pair when we do those.
Yeah, well, I'm going to try. I'm going to have the wife get on the Palace website and see what the tickets are going for in case I don't get the win.
Well, I'm trying to figure out, because we got to have both of our winners chosen by early next week, because they're going to mail you guys the tickets, so you've got to have them by the following Saturday. But I just don't want to do a drawing, but I don't want to do a straight-out trivia question either, because it's just whoever Googles it fastest, and then, you know, we give away the... So I'm trying to think of a unique way to give these away instead of just doing a drawing. Now, it's going to be something that has to involve the audience for like an hour or so, but other than a drawing, I'm not really sure how to do that.
I don't know either.
We might end up doing it that way with like Tony Danza trivia or something like that, but I just kept trying to rack my brain last night.
Hey, I know.
Go ahead.
You could do your, what was that one game you used to play, Kerfluffle?
Kerfluffle.
You could do that.
Well, I could do that. You know,
that takes an hour.
No. Sometimes it takes a weekend.
Nobody knows what's in your house.
Yeah, sometimes it takes a weekend. It.
Yeah.
I might look into that. We'll see what I can come up with. What do you think? Katlyn. Is that Catlin or Caitlin?
No, I guess it depends on who you're talking to. It depends on how they pronounce it. I pronounce it Caitlin.
Yeah, I mean, have you ever heard of anybody named Catlin?
No, there was an actress named Kat Denning that was on Two Broke Girls.
Yeah, I think Kat's a name, but I've never heard of...
I think that's short for Kathy.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
So I don't think I've ever heard anybody named Catlin.
No, but it's tough the way these spellings of these names goes. I can understand how somebody would make a mistake with that.
Yeah, well, that's the English language for you.
That's the English language. Well, thanks for calling.
Yeah.
All right, phone lines are open, 740-751-4038, 35 minutes past the hour here. WWGH radio time. Talking about foods maybe you don't have the taste for anymore. Simply because you've had it too much in your life. That was mine with beef and noodles, but last night that turned around. Okay, let's see here. One more thing before we get into the trivia this morning for the Cadbury eggs. I talked yesterday about the editorial that was in the Marion Star, and I'm going to try to blow through this again fast. Basically, what's going on is the sanitation workers, the transit workers, and the wastewater workers of the city every year enter into a contract with people at City Hall who work in the mayor's office. They negotiate a contract. Well, this year that contract was negotiated, and for some reason City Council is not passing this contract. Now, I have not been to the City Council meeting, so I can't say what their reason is. But the reason I'm bringing this up, in the beginning, it was said that it's because of a $1,000 bonus for everybody who gets the COVID-19 vaccination. Now, it's my understanding, after talking to the mayor when he was on the program last time, that that is something that that group wanted to do for their people, and that that money, if approved, was most likely going to come from the ARPA money, which is the federal COVID money, not city money. Now, is that the reason that City Council is not passing this budget, this contract? Because the Marion Star basically said in their editorial that City Council's just trying to hang up the mayor, not let him get anything passed. But I don't know that this affects the mayor. I mean, I guess news-wise it might affect the mayor, but it doesn't have anything to do with his pay, doesn't have anything to do with his his business that way. It affects the transit, sanitation, and wastewater people. So I'm not sure what's going on. Now, if anybody has any insight into this, give me a buzz, 38 minutes past the hour, 740-751-4038. Did anybody read that in the Marion Star? That their consensus was that city council was trying to hold up the mayor by doing this. Now, why they're trying to hold up the mayor, I don't know. If that is what is happening. Now, the $1,000 COVID bonus, is that the reason that there's an issue? I don't know. Has anybody said that? There probably was a council meeting last night. It was Monday night. Is there any new information that somebody can shed? Because we want to have correct information here. I'm just telling you what the Star reported in their editorial and what I have heard through the mayor and from other people. Give us a buzz, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. It all comes again to what's the problem? Where is the problem? And I think people have misunderstood things through this story. The money for the COVID shot, which apparently seems to be a big issue, is not coming from taxpayer dollars. And it's something that the group wanted, apparently the people negotiating the deal, because it was already on the table when city council was supposed to vote for it. So I don't know. I really don't know. And to be honest with you, however you feel about the COVID vaccination, they're not saying that it's mandatory to get the vaccination. They're just saying we are going to reward people who have done it. They're not saying they're going to fire the people who haven't. So I don't know. And they're not forcing anybody to do it, to my knowledge. It's not mandatory in the city that I have heard or seen. So I don't quite get it. Maybe if you can explain it to me, give me a buzz. 740-751-4038. Because I don't understand that. I just don't quite get it. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, ultimately it's taxpayers' dollars, Scott.
What?
Ultimately it's taxpayers' dollars, not Marion City taxpayers' dollars, but the money that was given to the city for COPA money or whatever, that came from taxpayers' dollars.
Well, it came, yeah, federal taxpayer dollars, but right. But it's not, it's, let's put it this way, no city's going to give it back. So it has to be spent in some way, and I think there are guidelines on how you can spend it.
And you want to spend it instead of lose it.
Right, right. So that's what I guess I don't understand, is if it's not coming out of city taxpayer dollars, if it's not coming out of the city budget, why is it such a big deal to anybody?
Well, it's no big deal to me. I mean,
it's a big deal to somebody.
Oh, you know, those people work hard and deserve the money. I'd rather see some money go to the working people rather than people that, you know, don't need it. There's a lot of money that goes, to things people don't need.
Well, some
and the wealthier people, so, well, you know, more power to them.
Well, something that I don't understand about this is that I don't think the mayor put this stipulation in. It was what the group bargaining for those three departments in Marion, that they wanted it. So if they wanted it and they have a way to pay for it, and the people who negotiated on the city's behalf don't have a problem with it, why is city council having such a problem with it?
Yeah, I don't see why they would have a problem with it. I mean, it's not coming from Marion money. They probably want everybody they're working around to be vaccinated, so it'd be safer for them than the people they come in contact with. It would be, you know, an incentive for the people that didn't.
Well,
dollars don't seem to be getting people to do it.
Well, you know, it's just an odd thing to me because, you know, it's not for me to agree or disagree with giving $1,000, but if it's not coming from city tax dollars, and the group negotiating it wanted it, and the group that was doing the negotiations on the city's behalf didn't have a problem with it, I'm confused on why city council has a problem with it.
Right. You know, since it's not coming from nowhere from the city.
No,
you know,
no.
What does city council think? Do they have a viable option if they think we should spend that money on something else?
Well, it's odd to me because it's
they haven't said that.
Well, it's my understanding that a lot of this money that came from COVID was considered stimulus money, and it was to stimulate the economy. Well, if you give somebody an extra $1,000, I'm sure they're going to go out and spend it.
Yep, they're going to. You know, that's going to benefit the economy, too.
Well, and these are people who work in Marion, do very, very, very difficult jobs, transit, wastewater, and sanitation. So, I mean, these are hard jobs. You know, they're up before the crack of dawn, and they're doing jobs that most people don't want to do. And I don't even hear, are the people in those departments complaining? I mean, are they saying, don't do this? I'm just confused. Is this a city council opinion, or is this something they're hearing from those don't give us the money? I don't understand it. And then when I read the Marion Star's editorial, they seem to feel that this is just something to hang up the mayor.
Maybe get somebody from the council on there.
Well, I think that's eventually what we're going to have to do.
And discuss it.
Well, because I don't...
I don't see why it affects the mayor, like you said, you know, either way. Whether they get it or not, you know, it's no. How can you say, well, Marion's mayor is not effective because he can't get this $1,000 bonus for these people?
Well, that's what the Star. The Star seemed to have that opinion in their editorial on Sunday. So.
I don't think the mayor is pushing it. I mean, they agreed to it, you know, because they figured they weren't asking for anything else that would cost the city money, so go ahead and agree to it.
Well, I don't know. I would have, if there's a good reason they're hanging it up, I guess I could understand that, but I have yet to hear that. And I think that's one of the problems when we're reading these articles that are appearing in the Marion Star, and they're appearing all over the place, and we know that this contract is not getting approved. Well, why?
Maybe one of those Marion Star reporters will be listening, and they'll tell us to get more to the reason.
Well, I think that's one of the problems, is we don't know the reason, and we don't know... I just found that to be an odd editorial, that what is the reason that they feel this is going on? Why... Well, here it is. I'm going to just pull it up here because I do have – now I have a copy of it. Let me see if I can pull up. Now, here's what the headline read. Our view from the Marion Star, Marion Star editorial board. Marion Council should be cautious in undercutting mayor's union bargaining power. That's what the headline was. Now, I'm going to read this because it's very – it's not tiny, but here it is. It says, on Monday, the Marion City Council will likely vote on whether to approve a contract between the city and the union that represents about 65 employees who work in the city street, sanitation, transit, and wastewater treatment departments. The contract with the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, Local 1158, is largely routine, giving the city workers a 3% pay bump, but approval of the contract hit a snag with the council over a provision that would pay a one-time bonus of $1,000 to each employee that is fully vaccinated and up to date with the COVID-19 vaccine. We understand that the COVID-19 vaccine in Marion has become unfortunately politicized. Roughly half of the country's population has gotten it, while many residents have criticized the vaccine for many reasons. The issue of rejecting a union contract over one provision, however, is much larger than a COVID vaccine debate. We believe the Marion City Council should be extremely cautious in undermining Mayor Schertzer's authority in negotiating a contract with city employees, so long as the contract does not include anything illegal or unethical, and the city can demonstrate how it will pay for the contract's provisions. We believe it makes sense for council to approve it. they may be quibble that the incentive for the COVID vaccine is unethical, but we hope that is extremely the minority. The city plans to use federal American Rescue Plan Act money to pay for the cost of the bonuses. Should the council vote no, they are simply rejecting the COVID-19 provision, but the entirety of the contract. As anyone who has been involved in negotiations knows, you can't simply take away one thing. Removing the benefit unravels the entire deal. So there you go. That's what they're saying.
Yeah, well, maybe they could be asking for 6% instead of 3%, you know? They're not doing that. They're just asking for that bonus. Marion City's not paying for it. I don't understand it.
Well, you know what? I'm going to send out...
You know, the council is Republican, so, you know, maybe they're, you know, Republicans are against it, you know, typically more. You know, maybe they're trying to politicize this, you know, according to their beliefs. I don't know.
Well, I understand what the editorial board of the Marion Star is saying, in a way, that this is one issue in the contract. I just got a note here from one of the city council members. It did pass last night. So there you go.
Oh, there we go.
It did pass. I'm going to ask what the vote was on that, because I think that's interesting. All this hubbub, well, it's passed now. So I guess if you're a member of the transit or sanitation or wastewater groups here in Marion, I guess that $1,000 bonus will be coming now with a 3% raise, because it looks like, according to the city council member that I just talked to, he said that it did pass.
Well, maybe Sarah will split that with you.
Well, you know what? She can buy an awful lot of fruitcakes with that dough. She could barricade herself in for a couple years.
She could have fruitcake every day.
Oh, my. Hey, thanks for calling.
Yep.
All right, phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. There you go. I don't know that that's been reported anywhere else, but it did pass. So there you go. Is that good or bad? I guess now's the question, now that we know that it did pass. 740-751-4038. Have about 10 minutes left this hour, 50 minutes past the hour. 46 degrees and sunny. And I haven't forgotten about the Cadbury eggs yet. I still have those here, and we are going to do those drawings. Coming up, it's Easter trivia. Here we go. Let's get a few more Easter trivia questions in here before we do. You know what I might do is wait till the end of the show today and just pull two names out. And that way we'll give away two Cadbury eggs today. And we'll also do one tomorrow. All right, we're getting a call here. That's what I'll probably do. All right. Go ahead, caller.
I have put nothing.
Now, what? Hey, don't get greedy. That's a lot of dinners. Where did you guys go last Friday for dinner?
Where did we go? Oh, with Panda Express.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not bad. But, yeah, well, I mean, that's nice that the dough got approved last night. And but, you know, that's a lot of fruitcakes.
I was there. I think it was like a 5-4 vote.
Oh, so it was close.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So now, were
you... The funniest part, well, the most entertaining part, had nothing to even do with the contract or anybody in the administration or city council. Everyone just booed out of the audience, got up, and told them all to get off their phones and take their job seriously. I lost my teeth over that one.
The city council members were on their phones during the meeting?
Yeah, and some dude that was in the audience, and I assume he was a member of the public, he got up and told them it'd be nice to see him get off their phones and pay attention.
Oh, well.
I was like, wow, this guy.
Yeah, well, apparently he had some opinions last night. So 5-4, did the mayor say anything last night?
I don't think he did. Not about this. He spoke, but it wasn't about this. And not to me.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's good they got it resolved because however people feel about that whole mess, you know, obviously a contract needed to be approved and now it's approved. But boy, 5-4, that's I'd love to get the makeup of who voted for and who voted against, because so many things are party lines now. And that did not used to be the case in Marion.
Do you think that's what the case was with this?
I don't know. I mean, I would have to see how the vote went, but somebody had to cross over because there are only, I think at this point, two Democrats on city council. So obviously three people had to cross over, but, you know, I can't imagine either one of the Democrats voted against it, because that would be Mike Thomas and Kai Mead. Oh, Ayers Ratliff is a Democrat, so I imagine he probably voted for it. Again, I don't know this for sure.
All I know is when that dude stood up and told him to get off his fence, that was hilarious.
That is funny. Well, hey, you know, sharing is caring.
Toodles.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. Well, there was somebody who's at the meeting. Let's see here. Well, we're getting a little more information on this. We don't know exactly what the vote was, but there's some stuff here. Apparently, let me read this. The issue that made it less of a tight vote is after 30 days, the union contract is automatically approved if council has decided one way or another on it. They were past the 30-day mark, so basically this vote meant nothing. Even if everyone voted it up or down, it would still go into effect as it has passed the 30-day mark if the council has not decided on it after 30 days. Well, shouldn't... I don't know. Did they know that? That's an odd set of circumstances there. So apparently, I don't know why the Marion Star was doing an editorial on this, because apparently it had passed the 30-day mark anyway, and it didn't matter how city council voted last night. It was going to take effect anyway. So there you go. And that's from a city council member. Interesting times. 740-751-4038. 55 minutes past the hour. You know, it's interesting sometimes how issues drag on, and in the end, it didn't really matter what city council had to say, because it had passed the 30-day mark. Now, here's the problem. I wonder if city council knew that. I'm sure some of them did. But did the people who were hanging it up know that? I don't know. Interesting questions. 740-751-4038, 55 minutes past the hour here on this April the 12th. Let's see. Well, apparently, I mean, nobody is sure on what they knew and what they didn't know, but it was brought up, and, you know, the discussion was the discussion. If you were there last night, you probably know more than I do. 740-751-4038, 56 minutes past the hour, April the 12th. 46 degrees and sunny. Supposed to be a nice day today. That'll be nice. Okay, here's another Easter trivia question. Households each spend how much on average for Easter? Well, I don't think we got... This was a question we had last year, or last year, yesterday. We did not get the answer for. If you get within $10, I'll tell you. How much do households spend each year on Easter? And if you get within $10, I'll give you the answer. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. How much do households spend each year on Easter? If you're within $10, we'll give you the... give you the question, and you might win some Cadbury eggs. Go ahead, caller. Hello.
$150.
Not $150. Go ahead, caller.
$150.
Not $150. No, $150 is not within $10 of the answer. How much does a household spend each year on Easter? 740-751-4038. Got about 2 minutes left here in this hour. We'll do this trivia again next hour, which will be fun, and we'll give away two boxes of these Cadbury cream eggs, four to a box, which you can pick up in the studio on Friday. 740-751-4038. How much does a household spend on Easter every year? And if you get within $10, I'll give you the answer, and $150 is not the answer. 740-751-4038. Go ahead, caller.
Okay, is that just for the candy in or two?
It just says on Easter.
I'll say 100 then.
100, not within $10, but not a bad guess. Go ahead, caller.
$179.
Not $179. Go ahead, caller.
$179.
Not $179. Not $179. 59 minutes past the hour. 740-751-4038. How much money is spent on Easter every year in a household? 59 and a half minutes past the hour. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead.
How about $300?
Not $300. Go ahead, caller.
I'll say $75.
Not $75. Not $75, not $300. And again, if you get within $10, I'll give it to you. Nobody's gotten within $10 yet of this particular answer. Okay, we're going to break. Think about it. We're going to come back and continue this trivia after news and weather at a quarter after the hour.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For people like the first female Secretary of State, Madeleine Albright.
If Donald Trump does get in, what kind of damage could he do? He's got to deal with Congress, the Senate, the Supreme Court. From somebody who's been there and dealing with foreign countries, if he's in there, what could there be a bad future?
I'm concerned about that. I have said that if he gets elected, it is a danger to the United States. The truth.